Welcome to the Comic Book Rundown.
Welcome back to the Comic Book Rundown. I'm your host, Joe, and with me today is my co-host, Ron.
Hello.
And from Wreck My Podcast, Cam.
Hey, hey.
We are on the second issue of this X-Men arc, issue 61. If you'd like to listen to the full story...
Go back and listen to all of our podcasts until you find the right ones.
Or you can find the specific ones, which is the previous episodes. And episodes 76 through 81. Every time, man. Every time.
Well, come on. If I'd let you just talk all the time, I mean, what fun would that be?
Yeah.
Plus, I'm pushing all of our podcasts, not just five of them.
I mean, I would love them to go back and listen to every single episode.
So you have to say, you have to look, it's got to be subliminal. Like, you guys are talking, I'm just back here like, go listen to the rest of the episodes. So anyways, so this was issue 61.
Yep.
On the Wings of Death. So it opens up to, I think Sauron's trying to give Angel a BJ. I don't know, it's got a POV look to it. Right?
Oh, God.
Okay, so tell me I'm wrong.
You're not wrong.
Exactly. So anyways, after he gets done with the blowy, he hits him in the eyes with a...
It's kind of a hypnotic ray.
Hypnotic ray.
Hypnotic ray.
No.
Don't ever say after he gives him the blowy, he gets hit in the eyes. Ever again.
Oh, that works great.
No, dude, we're calling it a hypnotic ray from now on.
Hypnotic ray.
That's great.
You're welcome.
So he hits him in the eyes with the hypnotic ray, which causes Angel to, like, see these, like...
He starts hallucinating.
Yeah, he's tripping balls.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he sees these three gnarly-looking bug dudes.
Yeah, well, yeah, one of them looks kind of like a hawkish thing, but...
Oh, yeah, there's, like, a hawk, and then there's, like, a praying mantis kind of thing.
And, like, a giant mosquito something. I don't know.
Yeah, things.
Giant monsters. And so Angel's trying to fly away, and he gets winged, he thinks, but then realizes that he's fine. And so he decides to fly through them and figures out that it's just a mirage. He then sees Sauron, which he thinks is also a mirage. And on this page, we get a quick backstory again.
We get the coolest set of wings ever. They've got built-in TVs where he's watching four different shows.
All of his past?
Yeah, I guess that would be kind of boring, but...
Yeah.
Four TVs, different shows, think about it.
So he's a news station? So Sauron goes rushing off, or Angel chases after Sauron, and as he's trying to get away, Cyclops... Well, the rest of the X-Men are there, and Cyclops shoots him with his laser beams.
His optic beams?
Laser beams.
His optic beams. Call them optic beams, damn it. You got to name the hypnotic ray, come on, or hypnotic ray.
Not on purpose.
No, but it's too late, dude. I'm going to draw a picture up of a gun, and it's going to be called the hypnotic gun.
Do it. So, what's going on here is we have... Jean trying to
mindfuck him,
but trying to hold him in stasis. But as she is holding him with her telekinetic powers, he's able to make eye contact and starts to get her with the hypnotonic,
right?
Hypnotoc.
Yeah,
I can't remember what I said. Hypnotoc beams, and she starts to see the rest of the X-Men as these demon-looking creatures.
Yeah,
actually, Cyclops looks pretty much the same.
Yeah, his face is just like a little longer.
And he's got fangs. I want to suck your blood.
Iceman looks more abominable.
Yeah. And Beast looks like a monkey.
That sounds about right.
But while this is going on, Angel takes advantage of it and sucker punches Sauron. Which, like, doesn't do anything at all to him. It literally just makes him look down and be like, "Huh. You little bitch.
Bitch, please."
and that's when Beast comes in and clobbers him. I admit, Beast would pack a pretty good punch. He probably weighs, what, like 280? You know?
Give or take.
Yeah.
We've got two of the X-Men kind of standing guard. And just behind Sauron, Iceman shows up and basically ices his wing. Sauron's like, you know, fuck you, I hate the cold. Crashes Iceman's
little
ice slide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
which is his biggest weakness anytime he's off the ground.
So I was, after reading this and after also watching this past season of Flash with Killer Frost. How is the ice slide physically possible?
Comic book logic.
So we're going with?
Dude, that's what we always have to go with because it doesn't make any other sense. Yeah. Because it's not, it wouldn't have the tensile strength to hold its own weight up.
That's what I'm getting at. Like, especially when he starts, like,
well, even with
here him, at street level and flies off like 3 miles that way and it's all one giant slide and yet it still stays without falling out, like,
or melting or, you know, anything. Yeah.
Comic. But, like, guy, like, what if, though?
It'd be cool. I'm not gonna lie. Yeah. It'd be fun. But, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
So,
it'd be more funny if, like, you know, Angel had to carry him around so he could shoot ice from up there.
That'd be pretty cool. So, as the fight is continuing, we have a couple quick panels of Alex back at Dr. Lykos' lab, and the phone's ringing, which is bringing
it's waking him up.
Yeah, he's bringing him out of his slumber.
And as he's waking up, Sauron's like, wait, oh no, I'm losing my powers.
I was very confused
really
at first.
It does look like somebody goosed him right there, though.
Oh, yeah. I was very confused at first because we have the three panels of the phone ringing, and then we have the one panel of the hand
hanging up the phone. Which I think is the green-haired chick.
It's Tanya.
Lorna?
Is it Lorna?
Fuck, I don't remember.
Anyway, well, no, what I was getting at was, well, Lorna's there, yes, but I thought that was Tanya calling Lykos.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I thought it was Tanya, too, because
we find out here in a minute. But my thought was it was in the same room. Like, it.
Yeah. And someone just, like, picked it up and hung it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it turns out it was Tanya trying to call Carl. And when
Coral?
When she didn't get an answer, she just came over to his practice, which we'll get there in a second. But before that, Sauron is able to hypnotize Angel with the
Hypnotalk Ray.
Thank you. and before he can transform back into his human form, or mutant form, because he's technically a mutant.
Yeah.
And convinces Angel to take him back to his apartment or practice.
Right.
This is when we get him walking in on Tanya, overlooking Alex, and him saying that, I needed to see you. You know, I kind of basically said I love you, but whatever.
You make my dick hard. Let me stick it in you. That sort of thing.
No, Tanya's saying that. Is that Tanya saying that to Carl? Oh, yeah.
Mm. Dude, come on. Who's going to be the bitch and who's going to be the butch in that relationship? Exactly.
I don't know. So, right on schedule, because why not, the X-Men have had enough time to go back to the mansion, change back into their civvies, and go check on Alex.
Maybe they brought him in the car.
It's possible. But either way, they come walking in, and I love this. Tanya is like, Carl, who are these intruders busting in this way? Bitch, you broke into the house.
You broke into his lab.
Yeah, but he knows her.
And he knows them, too.
But she doesn't know them.
Well, who cares? It's his place, not hers.
Says you.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, no, because her dad happens to walk in as well. And, like, you're coming home now. I don't care who this guy is.
No, he knows exactly who he is.
Yeah, I know. He doesn't care who he is. Yeah.
Because he's not worthy. He's a charlatan and a fraud.
But I like how they're having this whole conversation while the X-Men are there.
Uh-huh.
And they're just standing there in the back like, whoops.
Sorry. Actually, if you really pay attention, is that Cyclops in the green suit?
Yeah.
He's literally like intent like, man, this is better than watching TV. What's going on over here?
Well, it is 1969. Saturday Night Live wasn't around yet. So the X-Men go back home, and this is where Lorna is just at the mansion, and Angel returned, and he's in a bit of a hypnotic trance.
Yeah.
And the minute that they mention Lycos because
he snaps out of it.
Yeah, well, because they're thinking he's hypnotized. So let's go take him to Lycos. He's the doctor of hypnotonic rays. And
Hypnotoc. Come on, dude. You're the one that trademarked it. Now you can't even get it right.
I never wanted it to be trademarked.
Too late. It's already.
Okay.
Anyways.
Yeah. And he goes crazy at the mention of Lycos. He makes
an amazing dodo, and then fucking Beast just decks him.
Like, that was a good. Yeah. That was a good panel.
Straight up, yeah, he's like
jumps up and he's like, oh, this will work.
Sorry, old chum, but you gotta go down.
Let me show you how a man hits something.
And then they give Alex and Lorna, like, here's all the information that Professor X had on Lycos. Maybe you guys can find something. Why did you not look before?
Right.
I know they said they did, but
they just found his number in the Rolodex.
The one thing I do find interesting is as the night progresses, Alex passes out. Lorna is looking through the notes, and she finds... What's it say? She finds out that Lycos is what Dr. or Professor Xavier called a non-mutant variant.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that before.
That's because
it's a good NMV, dude. A typical NMV.
Yep, typical.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I'm an X-Men expert.
Okay.
Yeah.
Even though you said this is the first one you read? Yep. But as she is talking, she sees that Alex has passed out. And she is just talking to herself, mainly, but out loud. And she reveals that she is a mutant as well. And that Alex has a certain power over her heart, which you barely talk to the guy.
Dude, and she's literally talking about herself in third person, too.
Well, yeah.
Which is so fucking annoying, because they all do it.
They all do it. Especially the later comics. But as she's talking, as she is sitting there staring at Alex...
Wait, that sound behind me!
Well, she thinks it's Warren at first, but turns out it is Lycos. He came back to get more power from Alex. And just Jaws' power from Lorna as well. Actually, I think he takes it from all three. I could be wrong. Lycos drains the power from, I think, the three of them. And then goes crashing into Tanya and, I guess...
Dr. Anderson, or whatever the hell his name is.
He crashed into the... I don't know if this is their house or apartment or what. Because my understanding is they were not in the same area that... Lycos was.
But apparently he just knew where they were.
Well, maybe he probably kept tabs on them.
Maybe he's got a homing bird sense like Angel does. Dude, that shit cracked me the fuck up. It's not even how homing pigeons work.
That's fair. That's fair. So, Sauron goes to attack. Anderson recognizes that it's Lycos, like, immediately by the voice. And...
Tanya's... I know that dick-sucking voice from anywhere.
Tanya is shocked. So, before Sauron can attack, Beast pops up, and as well as the rest of the X-Men, but Beast pops in first. And
kicks him in the face.
Yeah, and stops him.
When I first looked at that picture, I was wondering where the contact was, because he's got the contact, you know, the bulk around his foot, but there was no part of Lycos that was anywhere near there.
Oh, okay.
And at first, I just thought he missed really poorly.
Well, we'll put it past him. But the X-Men are able to drive Lycos off. And he realizes that he was set there, or he was going to murder Tanya's dad. But he didn't want to.
Right.
Like he didn't want to be evil. So what ends up happening is he goes flying off. He's going to go seclude himself.
But Lover Girl here can't have that. Because she knows that he loves her, and she knows where he's going to be.
Well, she says no at first, but then she thinks, well, he might go here. So Lycos goes flying off to the cabin the backstory cabin that we had.
That he used to live in with his dad up in the mountains or some shit.
He's
like going
to seclude himself to then die. He doesn't want to hurt anybody else. He realizes what he's been doing is wrong, and he can't... He can't just
control it. Yeah. He can't control it. He has to feed. And then so he hears her calling for him, and he's like, shit, she found me. How would she know to look for me in my old home?
Yeah, I think like 3 or 4 days pass. He's visibly, you see like the stubble on his face. He is
and he's hungry. Like skinny looking.
Yeah. And she comes running up, and she's all like, I want to be with you. Mm-hmm. I love you. And he's like, no, get the fuck away from me. I don't want to kill you.
Right.
And he goes running off a cliff.
He just sprints right off it.
Yeah.
And then she goes to chase after him. She's like, Coral!
But the X-Men followed her up to this cabin. Because I think they had like some inkling that she was lying.
Yeah. And then Iceman throws up a barrier that stops her right before she goes off the edge.
Yep. And, you know, that's kind of how we end this issue with
her crying into, is that Beast's arms?
I believe so, yeah.
It's hard to tell when they've all got the jackets on.
Well, at least we know it's not Jean, because
no red hair. Hair flowing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to the Comic Book Rundown. If you enjoyed listening to Cam, then please check out Wreck My Podcast, where him and his friends talk about everything and nothing. You can find them on YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram at Wreck My Podcast. And as always, you can find us on Twitter at Comic Rundown, on Instagram at Comic Book Rundown, or you can send your emails to comicbookrundown@gmail.com. We'll be back very soon with more to this X-Men story.